Hello out there and welcome. My name is Sharon Froschen. I am the Chief Operating Officer of the Discover Your Path You platform, where we believe that every life can teach and everyone can grow. To that end, I'm also the host of this show, The Connection Sessions, where we bring together practitioners, entrepreneurs, marketers, artists, authors, spiritualists, mentors, and students in an effort to connect to community, learn from each other, and grow. Today, I have with me a life coach that I've known now for a little bit over a year by the name of Shanta Darling, somebody who I really enjoy spending time around, has a great sense of humor, and has actually recently received a really cool award for her life coaching efforts in the country where she lives. So Shanta, I'm really, really happy that you could be here with us today, and I'm hoping that you might start off just by kind of sharing with our audience how it is that you got into life coaching and what this award was that you won.
Okay, thank you, Sharon. The reason I got into life coaching was because I was going through several processes of life where I really needed a helping hand, and I could have done with me helping me back then, the old me. And as I sort of came through each of these situations, I sort of realized that if I had a helping hand, I could have gone through that a lot quicker and with a lot less pain and saved a lot of effort and energy. So I decided to become the person that I needed back then, so I can help others go through the same or similar situations. Definitely. So yeah, so I'm here to help others who need that helping hand up.
Awesome. And so this, I think it was this last weekend, you won an award called the Mentor of the Year Award for your life coaching. Would you mind talking to us a little bit about that?
Yes. The award was down in London. The award ceremony was down in London. And it was aboard the yacht, and it was all very nice. The Lord Mayor of Croydon was there, as well as some other people. And it was a award ceremony for other entrepreneurs and business-minded people and people who are in the helping industry to help others get along. And we all were in the same space, and we all shared the same kind of energy. And it was the Regional Entrepreneurs Business Awards. Mm-hmm. And it was a phenomenal event. And the lady who put it on as well is a phenomenal lady. And she worked really hard to get this event going. This is the seventh year that this event's been running. And it was good to be in a room with like-minded people who also have to get some recognition for the work that you do. We don't do this work for recognition, but it's nice when it comes along as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So a lot of the things that you like to focus on include like confidence, resilience, and life balance, all of which I love to talk about. So out of the three, which to you would be the most important, confidence, resilience, or life balance?
I think it's all important, because resilience is important. Mm. Resilience and your ability to get through situations and get through, not unscathed, but intact.
Yeah.
Because we can go through situations and come out feeling like we've been smashed to pieces, when in actual fact that we're not, we're still there. And if you've done something once, you know you can do it again, even though you may not want to. And having the confidence to know that you can do it again, if need be. And you can have all the resilience and all the confidence in the world, but you need to find balance. And balance that's right for you and your situation, and not right for society or anyone else.
Yeah.
And it's finding what's right for you and having the confidence to live life out loud and on your terms.
Absolutely. I love how you bring it back to the individual, that idea that you may think that you can't make it through this, but then you find out through life experiences that you indeed can. And I think a lot of that has to do with the stories that we tell ourselves, these ideas that we have in our head that are a lot of the time are fear-based, you know, this, I'm not going to make it through this, or this is going to hurt too bad. So how do you help somebody who is kind of on the edge of something they don't really want to face come to terms with, if you stay in the present moment, it doesn't have to be as bad as your head is telling you it's going to be?
It's about living with the light and dark, because we've all got a light side, we've all got a dark side, we all run away from our shadows. And sometimes it's that shadow that gives you that little bit of energy to push you through the situation that you're currently in. So instead of wanting to stand in the sun all the time, sometimes it's good to sit in the rain for a little bit, just so you can grow and develop. Things develop in the dark, not always in the light. So it's finding your piece of light that fits in with your piece of dark and putting them together, and you get your balance, your yin and your yang.
I love that analogy. I know that for me, I I like to say that at one point in my life, I struggled with anger. So I struggled with feeling angry all the time. And then it finally dawned on me that I wasn't embracing what society sometimes considers to be a darkness, which is that anger, but that often that anger is telling me either my boundaries are being walked all over, or somebody's disrespecting me, or there's something in my current environment or this relationship that I need to look at and change. And I love how you talked about embracing that darkness, because often some of the best lessons that we can learn come from that place that we consider to be dark.
Yes. And there's that side of our character that we sometimes keep away from others. And if you look in that cupboard, sometimes you find the answers that you're looking for.
Yeah.
And it's all there. It's all within us. It's not a case of giving someone confidence. It's rediscovering that confidence, because it's there already. It's just putting all the blocks in the right order.
That's so true. I think that a lot of times we, speaking of darkness as well, we have a tendency to look at pain as dark or struggle as dark, not understanding that you don't really know what pleasure is unless you've experienced pain. They're kind of two ends of the same stick, and you need both in order to have that full experience. So how would you help a client who does as we all do? We all go through periods in our lives where we're avoiding pain and we're running from things that we don't want to face. How would you help a client like that to understand that both are necessary for the overall experience?
Yeah, I think you have to start with looking at where they're at this current moment in time. But we all know where we've been, but we don't always know where we're going. Yeah. So look at where you're currently at, truthfully. So you're stripping back all the layers. Okay, this is who I think I am. This is who I want to be. Strip it all back down. This is who I actually am. Wow. So it's where are you right now? Mm-hmm. And then you go back inside and you look, where am I? Who am I? And who am I is, so what makes you believe the things that you believe? How do you know the stories you're telling yourself are true?
That's a good one.
Yeah, what pictures are you watching when you close your eyes at night? What video plays in the screen of your mind? And how do you know that's true? If it was true in the past, is it still true now? Mm. You know, because as we evolve, sometimes our beliefs don't always work. They stay rigid.
Yeah.
And they don't always serve what you need to serve moving forward.
Absolutely.
And then, so you look at where you're at, who you're at, how you are. So how are you living? What's your environment like? Are you taking care of yourself? Are you nourishing your soul? You know, mm-hmm. Are you feeding your brain? Are you feeding your mind and your body in the right way to get to where you're going? And then the last one for me is, you've done all those three steps, is what do you want?
Yeah.
What do you actually want? You know, because we all know as coaches, the thing is really the thing. The thing that bothers you the most isn't the thing that actually bothers you the most. Yeah. And it's these little barriers that we put in front of ourselves that we need to strip back and look at what we're asking. There's lots of people looking for answers, but forget to ask the question.
Very true.
Yeah,
very true. And a lot of times I for me personally, especially here in the United States of America, I don't watch the news. I don't pay attention to the news. I haven't in the longest time. But it's interesting to watch how society, at least here in the United States of America, it's like a flock of birds. Have you ever seen a flock of birds that flies in unison where it's always...
Yeah.
You can always tell the people that are consuming and consumed by the news because they're all flying together like that flock of birds. And you can stand back and watch it. And I think the same is true for our belief systems. It's often really easy to identify the people who have decided that their government's out to get them or their family hates them because they all seem to fly in that same pattern. So how would you help somebody who's kind of stuck in that flock mentality of, I just follow the other people who seem to talk and think like me? How would you help them to find their...
You've got to help them find out like their reasons why they believe that way. If they understand why they believe something or why they behave the way they behave, it's looking at these things. Who gave them that information? Who said it was okay? Who said it wasn't okay? Are you actually living your own life? Or are you living the life of your parents, the life of your peers, doing the things you should be doing rather than what burns up inside of you? You know,
yeah.
And sometimes people follow the money, so they're following the love. And it's a hard balance to break sometimes, because you think, well, I would like to do that. This is, I'm really good at this, but I need to get a house, car, 2.3 kids. And do you?
Challenging those beliefs is so important as a life coach, isn't it?
And then looking, just taking a step back and turning your head slightly to the side. So you're looking at the same thing from a different angle.
Yeah.
And it's just refocusing and just having a look into this so you can see, is that really true? Do I really believe this? Where did that come from? How do I know? And it's toying with those questions and putting these things out. It's all there.
And it's interesting that this is a practice that's so simple. It really isn't, as a fellow life coach, it really isn't that hard to get past that initial veneer of what we think we believe down into what's real. But it's almost like, as in Western society, for whatever reason, we kind of avoid it like the plague.
It's comforting to it's almost like sufferance is a pleasure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I would agree with you.
And sometimes you can get comfortable in your pain because you know it.
Yeah, and the devil that you know sometimes is better than the devil that you don't.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we hold on so tight, we burn our hands holding on to these ropes. And all we have to do is just let go and have a completely different experience.
Agreed. And I would also say that half the time, the thing that we're afraid of happening, A, doesn't happen, and B, we waste all that time from the moment this completely non-constructive thought enters our mind until what was going to happen anyway happens, and then we've ruined not only the moment, but all that time between when we started being afraid about it and when it actually happened.
Yeah, absolutely. The mind is powerful, and it's do you want to create? We're all creators, but not everybody knows how to mold. So it's taking the lessons, getting the practice in, and be willing to make mistakes. That's the thing. Everyone's scared to make mistakes. Don't just make them. Just make them and apologize. and then go and make some more.
I have a friend.
You get it right.
I have a friend who likes to call herself a failure junkie, because she would much rather get out there and just fall all over the place and make mistakes, but be moving forward than be frozen in fear.
Yeah. And sometimes you got to face your fear face on. And when you do, you realize that it's not actually that big, and it just gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Then you can just sweep it up and throw it in the bin.
Yeah.
Walk with it. You don't have to get rid of your fear. Sometimes you just have to walk with it.
Absolutely. I think sometimes people they have this idea that, well, if I'm courageous, I won't have any fear, when actually courage is movement in the presence and the face of fear. Yeah. It's having fear and moving anyways.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Totally agree with that. There's lots of things I'm fearful of. I always get scared when I'm speaking in front of people that I've not met before. Mm-hmm. And you always get that peak of nerves. You think, oh my God, I'm going to fall over, I'm going to say the wrong thing. But you just do it anyway, and it always works out fine. Well, not always, but it gets better.
Yeah. It's we build these monsters in our heads, like, that are so much larger than they really need to be. And I think a lot of that goes back to what you spoke about earlier, that a lot of us full-grown adults in our 30s and 40s are living life on the belief systems of a seven-year-old.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is going to be a recipe for disaster.
It's never going to end well.
No, it doesn't. And as a result, you kind of see the society that we have nowadays, where we would rather basically crunch ourselves down into these tight little balls of fear and panic and not live the life that we would like to live, because we'd much rather be small than be wrong.
Yeah, I am wrong all the time.
Oh, me too, constantly.
and I'm happy with that, because when I make a mistake, it means I can learn. I've got an opportunity to learn, and let's just go out there. And it's so important that we don't just get up and exist.
Yes,
we've got to get up and live, and whatever it is, we've all got a purpose. And sometimes it takes a long time to find that out. It might take the whole of your life, and you find it at the very end. Sometimes it's at the beginning or the middle, but it's all there. And I'm in the right groove at the moment, and it's made so much difference to, I just feel happy. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, yeah. And it doesn't matter what challenges are thrown at me. I know that it's all good. It's all for the greater good. I'm walking in the right direction. And I just reject the whole notion of perfectionism, that you have to be perfect and you have to have all the answers, because we don't.
Perfectionism is impossible. Literally, perfectionism is, it's defined as the absence of flaw. Well, all of us are flawed, so there is no perfection. And yet we spend so much time and energy chasing something that literally doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the time.
It's amazing to see. So for me, I was raised in an extremely legalistic version or sect of Christianity called Pentecostalism. And this is, you know, you can't wear pants. You can't, if you're a woman, you can't wear pants. You can't listen to secular music. You can't go to movies, can't watch TV, etc. And I grew up so afraid of like making even the smallest little mistake for fear that, you know, I'd get just sucked off the face of the earth by some vengeful God. And it's really interesting to note that all of that fear, another person can't create that for me. I have to agree that that's true and embrace it. And so literally the fear that the majority of us are living in is self-inflicted.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's like our mind takes a tiny speck and magnifies it. It's the void, isn't it? It doesn't like the void. It has to fill the space. And it's knowing that no matter how much the space is filled, you can empty it, you can clear it, you can fill it with something else. And you don't have to accept what's there. You get to choose. You get to choose. We have options. We have choices. We can create whatever we want to create for ourselves.
And I know people that I've heard them talk about before, how that's just fanciful thinking and it's dangerous to tell somebody that. But if our experience literally is created by the thoughts that we have about the experience rather than the experience itself, and the mind is powerful enough to be able to do that for us, then I genuinely believe that you're right. I believe that we do create our own experience, and we do have the capacity to change that experience at will.
Yeah, we do. And also, it's not to sort of brush over, there are things that happen in life that we do have no control over, and that's granted, but we have total control how we respond.
Yeah.
We do have control how we respond, and it's once we understand how our mind interacts with our belief systems and how we all manifest based on our feelings and our fears and our hopes and our dreams and our wishes. Once you understand that, then you can control that and you can create something.
Something really amazing.
Yeah.
I'm often absolutely fascinated by the idea of the placebo in research. Yes. And for those of you in the audience who aren't familiar with what a placebo is, what it is that when a drug company is testing a new medication, it separates, you know, participants out into two groups, the group that gets the actual new medication and the group that gets a sugar pill, so that they can actually know what this medication helps and what it doesn't based upon what isn't helped in the group that gets the placebo or the sugar pill. But those two groups don't know who's getting what. And it's often interesting to note that out of 100 people in the group with the placebo, sometimes as many as 75 will get better simply on the belief that they're getting that medication. So to me, that's such a powerful indication that whatever it is that we think, that's what's creating our reality. Not the person outside of us, not our family, not our boss, not our job. We're literally, it's a reflection of our own internal workings.
Yeah, absolutely. And isn't that just incredible?
It is. And I think to a certain extent, like some of us get afraid of that. Like, oh my God, if I really have that much power, we're all screwed. But I think that once we start to get back to that place where we have more confidence in our innate capabilities as human beings, that we're not as weak and small and broken as we've been led to believe, there's so much power and freedom in being responsible for our own experience.
Yeah, there really is. And I just feel that, especially how society and the world is going nowadays, it's very easy to blame someone else. You know, I'm this way because of something external. And really, we just need to look at that mirror and look inside and go deeper. If something is going wrong and constantly going wrong, just turn it back inside on yourself and just say, okay, what am I missing here? Yeah. What needs tweaking? What's out of balance? Where do I need to make adjustments? You know?
I have to do that quite a bit. And I think for a lot of us, we're in so much pain internally. We're in pain because of the politics that are going on around us and because our education isn't turning out the way we wanted, or our kids aren't acting the way we want, or our spouse isn't relating to us. And we kind of set up this victim mentality for ourselves, like, woe is me, all of this is happening to me. And then the last place that we want to be is within. We don't want to go within and look at everything that's happening. Not understanding that literally going within is our saving grace.
Yeah, I mean, I had a situation about 12 months ago where life just seemed to be happening and coming at me hard. And I was just like, what's going on here? You know, and then I thought, okay, this is happening too often. What's my role in this? What's my role in this? Let me take it back, strip it down, and just re-look at it with fresh eyes. And also, you know, get a coach, help me relook at things with different fresh eyes as well. Because sometimes it's hard to see the picture when you're in the frame, and you need that external looking to see what's going on. Mm. And this is where coaches come in and can help.
Absolutely.
Help you wipe the dust from your eyes a little bit, so to speak. Yeah.
That is very true. What a great note to end on. Thank you so much for being with me here today, Sean. So I just want to take a moment to recognize some of our viewers. We have Monique, Susan, Sammy D, Andrea, Melanie Holmes, and Becky Stokes are here with us today. Thank you, ladies, for joining us. We've really enjoyed having you here. If you come by after we're no longer live and you catch this video, drop us a hashtag replay and let us know that you were here so we can connect with you. If you like what you heard, if you really like the way that Shanta relates to life and you think that she can help you, and I mean, come on, guys, who doesn't think that this powerful woman could help you? All of her contact information is available in this live. Her website, her Facebook group, her Instagram account, her personal profile is tagged. Make a connection with Shanta and find out how somebody who actually does this for herself in her daily life can help you find more success, more peace, and more abundance in what it is that you're looking to actually experience rather than feeling like you're a victim of your own life. So again, Shanta, thank you, my love, so much for joining me. I really enjoyed this conversation with you. We'll be back tomorrow, guys. Same place, same time. And as always, you know, I love you. Bye.